Welcome. Today we're diving deep into the really complex world of wolves, Canis lupus.
Right.
These creatures, they're more than just iconic. Their story, it's tangled up with ours. Apex predator, yes, but also this incredible social structure.
Absolutely.
And historically, wow, their adaptability meant they roamed like huge parts of the Northern Hemisphere.
Vast areas.
But then human actions just slashed that range
Yeah.
drastically.
Yeah.
So now their survival, it feels less about natural fitness and much more about our tolerance, doesn't it?
Exactly. That's the core issue today, really. So our mission, let's say, is to unpack their biology
Yeah.
and their crucial role in ecosystems,
Right. Ecological set.
and then really get into that tricky relationship between humans and wolves, the conflicts, but also, the conservation successes and the ongoing struggles.
Okay.
So starting off, what kind of jumps out at you about their whole journey?
For me, it's always that evolutionary resilience. I mean, gray wolves, they're the biggest canines, and they actually evolved here in North America ages ago. Then they migrated to Eurasia, diversified, and then came back.
Incredible, isn't it? A real global traveler story.
Totally.
And what's really fascinating is how their biology fueled that success. You have to picture this like lean, muscular animal,
Yeah.
built for sprints, sure, but also for endurance, covering hundreds of miles.
Wow.
Plus those powerful jaws, that thick insulating fur,
Yeah.
it meant they could thrive almost anywhere. Arctic tundra, deserts, just pure biological adaptability.
And it's not just individual power, right? It's amplified by that deep social
Their
structure.
pack,
These highly organized family units, usually led by a breeding pair, the parents, basically.
Right, the alpha pair, often. Though that term is debated sometimes.
True. But that cohesion, that's everything for them. Strength for big hunts, protection, defending territory.
And their communication, it's incredibly sophisticated. It's not just howling.
No, much more.
They use subtle body language, tail position, ears, play bows, and then all those vocalizations, barks, whimpers, growls, and yeah, those amazing howls for long distance stuff.
And scent marking too, like leaving chemical messages all
Those
over.
flex signals, yeah, marking their turf.
So as apex predators, they're skilled hunters, focusing on big-hoofed animals, elk, moose.
The usual suspects.
But they're also like ultimate opportunists. They often go for the weakest prey, but if the big stuff is
Ye
scarce,
adapt.
yeah. Rodents, birds, fish, even berries. Specialized hunter, sure, but not too proud to eat scraps if needed. Kind of like us raiding the fridge late at night.
Huh. That's a good way to put it. And that dual nature, the specialized hunter plus the extreme opportunist, that's exactly what let them thrive everywhere.
Makes sense.
But it's also what leads directly to conflict with humans, right? When they turn to livestock or even garbage.
Yeah, that's the friction point. And ecologically,
Yeah.
their impact can be just astounding. That whole trophic cascade idea.
Yes, Yellowstone, the classic example.
Right, the reintroduction there in 95. Before wolves, the elk were just everywhere, overgrazing near streams.
Eating everything down to the nub.
Exactly. But when the wolves came back, it created this landscape of fear, changed elk behavior.
They started avoiding certain areas, didn't browse as heavily near the
And
rivers.
that shift, transformative. Aspens and willows started recovering.
Which brought back the beavers. More dams, more wetlands.
Right. And more nesting sites for songbirds. Even the rivers got cooler because of the shade, which helped fish.
It's amazing. And wolves also reduced coyote numbers,
Oh, yeah.
which benefits smaller predators, raptors, and even helps scavengers like grizzly bears who get food from wolf kills,
Yeah.
especially important for their cubs.
It's just incredible how one species ripples through the whole system. But, it's complex. Other things matter too, like drought.
Of course, it's never just one factor, but it does highlight that wilderness isn't always untouched, is it? Often we remove the wolves, which degraded things.
And then human reintroduction helped restore that balance. It's complicated.
Which brings us to that troubled history. Humans and wolves. It hasn't been easy. From the 17th century on, basically systematic eradication.
Driven by fear, competition, bounty
Yeah,
programs.
government-sanctioned campaigns. By the 1930s, they were almost gone from the lower 48 states. Just a few hundred left, mostly in Minnesota.
The whole big bad wolf story really stuck, didn't it?
Deeply ingrained. Thankfully, attitudes started shifting later in the 20th century.
Right, leading to things like the Endangered Species Act in 73, a game changer.
And gray wolf conservation since then. It's often called a remarkable success. Populations have come back in many areas.
Yellowstone gets the headlines, but it's broader than that.
It is, although it's not always straightforward.
Yes.
Look at the red wolf in North Carolina. Critically endangered, huge challenges with hybridization with coyotes and just social tolerance issues. Mm-hmm. Even the Mexican gray wolf recovery in the Southwest has been slower. Biological success can definitely bring new, really complex social challenges.
Absolutely, because as wolf populations grow and spread back into areas with people,
conflicts increase. Livestock conflicts. Habitat fragmentation. It's inevitable.
Wolves being opportunistic, they might see livestock, like calves or sheep, as, well, easier targets sometimes.
And public perception gets incredibly polarized. You often see urban folks supporting wolf restoration.
While rural communities, especially ranchers, hunters, they see the direct impacts. Real economic losses sometimes.
And studies show it's not just about facts. It's deeply tied to different values, different ways of life, cultural identities even.
Wow, what a journey we've taken through their world. Incredible adaptability, that complex pack life, communication, and their huge role as ecosystem architects, seeing how their return can literally reshape a landscape.
Yeah. And if you connect that to the bigger picture, the wolf story really underscores how interconnected everything is. We've made amazing strides in recovery thanks to things like the ESA.
Definitely.
But the biggest challenge now, it's not really biological anymore. It's social. It's about bridging that divide in how people see wolves, finding ways we can actually coexist.
So what does that mean for us, for the people sharing these landscapes?
Well, it seems their long-term success hinges less on just protecting remote wilderness.
And more on our tolerance.
Yeah.
And finding smart ways to manage things, like non-legal deterrence.
Exactly. Adaptive management. Because even the wild now is touched by human management. It raises a big question, doesn't it?
Yeah.
In this world, what's our responsibility? How do we secure the future of that wild howl?
Makes you think. What's the next step for you? Listening out there, how can you learn more about this vital connection?